In the Joseph story, there are lies that look like the truth and truths that look like lies. Joseph plants a cup in Benjamin's sack and says that the brothers stole it and it's a lie, but they found it in their sack. It looks like it's true. Potiphar's wife says that Joseph tried to make love to her, and because she's a society woman, even though it was a lie, it looked true. And then there are things that are true that look like lies. Joseph's denial, for example, looked like a lie, but it was true. The fact that Joseph is still alive when they tell the father, it can't be true, but it is true. And that same dialectic of truth and lies happens in all of our lives all the time. This past week, I received a column, which I do each week, from Rabbi Avi Shafran, a name that may be familiar to some of you. He was the spokesman for many years, still is, of Agudat Yisrael. He's an ultra-Orthodox rabbi, what we would call a black hat rabbi. He and I disagree about many, many things, as you can imagine. But we have been sort of email friends for several years. And when I got his column, I said, I want you to know that if you don't mind, next week I'm going to talk about it in synagogue. I hope you don't mind being praised in a conservative synagogue. He said, I'd be honored. I said, I just wanted to tell you because I know that you will never listen to a tape made on Shabbos, so you'll never be able to listen to the sermon, but I'm going to praise you. This was his column. He said he received an email, which I received also, and I guess many of you did, that showed Muslims at prayer and said, this is what's happening in every afternoon in Midtown Manhattan. That Muslims are praying and blocking traffic, and Manhattan is turning into a Muslim-dominated city. And he said, look, I go out every day in New York, and this sounded suspicious to me. So I checked, and it's a lie. What happened was that someone took pictures last year at a Muslim day of prayer and sent them out saying this happens every single day in the streets. He said it would be the same thing as if somebody took a picture of the Siyum HaShas, the thousands of Jews who gathered to finish the studying of the Talmud, and said this is happening every day in Manhattan. And then he went on to make his point. He said, look, our case is strong about the Jewish position in the world and the threats we face. When we support our truth with lies that look like they're true but aren't true, we weaken ourselves and our tradition. And I know, and you know, that every single day you get emails and information that you find out later is not true, but of course the correction never catches up with the lie. And our tradition takes truth very seriously. The word emet, truth in Hebrew, the rabbis point out, consists of the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, aleph, the middle letter, mem, and the final letter, taf, because truth, they say, is the beginning, middle, and end of everything. So when we say, for example, that the world hates us, and then you open the paper this morning and you discover that helicopters are being sent from Turkey, that fire engines are being sent from the Palestinian Authority, that Greece and Romania and Egypt and Jordan are sending help to Israel. What do you make of that? If you say, oh, they're only doing it to look good, then I ask you, what did you say when Israel sent help to Haiti? Did you say they're only doing it to look good? No, you said, this is what Jews do. So if you're going to say that about when Jews help, do you really think that Greece is scoring any points by sending things to Israel? Do you think that Jordan would be in trouble if they didn't help? There are good people everywhere. Do you know what the president of Turkey said? He said, this doesn't make me like Israel any better. I'm angry at what happened, and until they apologize for what happened on the flotilla, I feel the same way about Israel, but this is the Islamic thing to do to help. Gotta say, not what I expected to read in the paper in the morning. But if we really care about truth, sometimes we have to put our preconceptions aside and allow the possibility that other people can be good, can be kind, can be caring, can be honest as well. Now let me get to the lie that looks like it's true, and to the truth that looked like it was a lie. I want you to know that as far as I'm concerned, and I don't usually take strictly political positions, but I think that the leaks from WikiLeaks are nothing less than treason. I think that it's a terrible thing. I think it's going to have a stultifying effect on diplomacy. I think it's going to make it harder for governments to operate with each other. All of that. I think it's a bad thing. But boy, was it satisfying. And boy, was it reassuring, and boy, did it prove that Israel's truth, which looked like a lie, was really true. Because Israel has been saying for a long time, quietly, not so much publicly, but quietly, in every briefing from every Israeli official that you ever speak to, that the Arab nations want Iran's nuclear program contained at least as much as Israel does. And nobody believed them, because of course it's in Israel's interest to say that the Arab nations feel the same way. Then all of a sudden the documents come out, and one after another Arab leader not only says that they want America to take out Iran's nuclear program, but when you get a couple leaders in the Arab world saying Ahmadinejad is equivalent to Hitler, you think, oh my God. Either you've stepped into an Alice in Wonderland world, or maybe that which looked like a lie is really true. That in fact, what Jews have insisted forever, which is that someone who starts out as the enemy of the Jewish people will end up being the enemy of the world, that happens over and over and over again. When they first start to target Jews, sooner or later, they will widen their target, that it's true. And here it was, in black and white, in thousands of documents, on the front pages of papers. So that it was no longer possible to say, as we heard over and over and over again, not only from Israel's enemies, but even from some of Israel's friends, it's only Israel that's worried about Iran. You read editorials in the newspaper, really, it's okay to have a nuclear Iran. There's no reason why they would be any more dangerous than other nuclear powers. And here you see other nations, Arab nations, not only saying we don't want this, but even more, saying if it happens, we'll have to become nuclear too. Syria said if Iran becomes nuclear, we have to become nuclear. Now let me just point out what that means. I don't want to say explicitly, I'm now quoting Dan Meridor, whom I heard speak earlier this week, I don't want to say explicitly that Israel is a nuclear power, right? You're not supposed to say that publicly. So let's just say in theory that Israel has nuclear weapons. Just in theory. Notice that the Arab nations did not say, since Israel has become nuclear, we have to become nuclear. They didn't say that. Why didn't they say it? Because they know, no matter what they say publicly, that Israel has no aggressive intentions against them. They know that Israel will never, unless it's overwhelmingly attacked, launch a nuclear weapon, if they have them. But if Iran becomes nuclear, then all of a sudden the Arab nation says, we have to too. Which means, and this is As I say, I'm sorry that the documents were leaked. I wish that WikiLeaks hadn't happened, but boy, did my heart swell when I read this. It means that everything we've been saying for years is not only true, but is admitted to secretly by leaders who thought the word would never get out. Now, are there things that will come out that will embarrass Israel? It's very possible. I'm not saying that everything that Israel does is wonderful and perfect and true. We know this. We know this from Israel's own investigations. And there may be things that come out where Israeli leaders may have said negative things about other people. Wouldn't that be shocking? They may have done things they shouldn't have done. They may have tried spy missions that didn't work and now we're going to come out and we'll be embarrassing. All of that may happen, but don't lose the big picture, which is we were telling the truth all these years. Despite the fact that people didn't believe us, that people said your lie is a lie and not the truth. If you pull aside the curtain and you look behind it, you see that it's true. That this is a dangerous world. And it's not a dangerous world because of Israel. If Arab nations are afraid of Iran, they're not afraid of Iran because Israel exists. If Israel was gone, God forbid, a million times, they'd still be afraid of Iran. That we don't bring violence and hatred into the world. And if you pull aside the curtain, as happened this past week, and you actually get to look inside at people who are telling the truth for a moment because they think the word will never get out, you discover that they're as afraid of the bad people as we are. So what Rabbi Shafran is teaching is important. Don't lie about things to make an impression because we don't need to, and we ought not. And it's against the tradition, especially when we're telling the truth, when we say that we're the good guys. And the ones who are contradicting us are only doing it publicly. And when we got to see what they really think, they're not afraid of Israel. They may not like Israel, they may wish it would go away, but they're not afraid of us. They're afraid of each other, and they should be. The whole Joseph story is a story about untangling lies and coming to the truth. And in the end, everything that seems so confusing gets clarified. And there was such a moment this week, two such moments. One was when it became clear that Israel really does have friends in the world, and that there are humanitarians in every nation who, when they see destruction and death, want to help just as we want to help. That's important for us to know. It is a bad thing, and it's bad for our children when we raise them saying everyone hates the Jews. It's not true. Come here tomorrow night at 5:30 when the Vice Premier of Israel, Moshe Yaalon, is going to be speaking, and you will see Jews and Christians. He spoke to an audience of 3,000 Christians the other day. It's not true. We have friends here. We have friends abroad. We have friends in Europe. We have friends in Asia. We even have friends in the Middle East. But we also have enemies. There are also bad people and destructive people. And so we have to be careful to distinguish one from the other and keep telling the truth. chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. The seal of God is truth. We don't have to lie. We don't have to lie. Because, as we discovered this week, we're right. And when you're right, you don't have to lie. We just have to be careful. We just have to be vigilant. We just have to be giving. We just have to be good. And God willing, the world, in its crazy, mixed up way, as it did this week, will eventually prove what we have been saying for a long time, which is that we are an island of sanity, of goodness, of democracy, and of potential peace in a dangerous part of the world. And even though they may not be happy about it, they're lucky to have us. Shabbat Shalom.